You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, beautiful human. Thanks for letting us into your ears today. Please subscribe to our podcast, I beg you, and share it with those you care about. We're about to catch up with Demi Lovato about a lot of life, and we're going to discuss her brand new album, Dancing with the Devil, The Art of Starting Over. So yeah, are you ready? Here we go. Hello, beautiful human. My name is Zach. We got Dan here, and we welcome, really in the most official capacity you've ever done the show, is this right here. Demi Lovato, kind of on our couch, an honor.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Do you ever get used to releasing an album after releasing so many over the years?
I feel like I'm not as nervous as like I used to be. I used to get really nervous. But I think now it's just about getting the music out there, and that's what I'm excited about. So I'm not nervous anymore, but I feel equally as excited.
What do you think has changed? Like, is it the fact that you have more control over your music today than you've ever had before, that you can tell your story in ways that you maybe haven't been able to through lyrics? Like, but as I think back to all of your songs, like, you've had some incredible records. Like, I mean, some really meaningful songs throughout your history. So
thank you.
What makes this era different than the ones before?
I've obviously been through a lot over the past few years, things that I've never been through before. So you know, talking about that on the album is important, and so that's new. But yeah, I just felt like I've never known myself as well as I do today. So I feel like being able to really like put my music out in front of the world and say, this is who I am. I've never been able to do that before. Like, I've never had my finger on my pulse of like, of me as an artist as well as I do today.
Do you only have a good grip on who you are as an artist because you have a better grip on who you are as a person?
Yes, absolutely.
Are the two the same, right? Like, your art imitates your life. Is that correct? And it's very very relevant and obvious in the album.
I think that like, it goes both ways. I think that life can imitate art and art can imitate life. It just is like, sometimes I get inspired by like a lyric or a topic that I don't really relate to in the moment. And then my life applies to it 6 months later. It kind of goes hand in hand, but it just depends.
What's been the hardest part about starting over?
You know, the hardest thing about starting over is that when you are in my position, you don't really get to start over until the next round of interviews or whatever. Like, I'm the thing is like, I have started over, but I'm still talking about all of these subjects that, you know, I wrote about or I talked about in the documentary. And so I think once everything comes out, then I'll feel like I can move on. So I'm excited for that. Yeah.
It's really interesting because you have been in the process of starting over, but you're now sharing it. So it's not, you know, you haven't reached the final part yet, but is music a part of that healing? Is music, this album in specific, a part of that process?
Definitely. I think that my album has been so cathartic, and a therapeutic for my journey. You know, I've done a lot of going in and looking at what lessons I could learn and from everything that I've been through.
Why do you choose a documentary in addition to music as a method to share your story? Because if anybody with ears listens to one of your records a couple times, you really, I mean this with the most respect. Like, I feel like you really get to know you from listening to your music. Like, your story exists in the lyrics and in the production and in all layers of the songs you have on this body of work. But why was a documentary necessary?
Because it's not like I can put in a song the medical repercussions of what had happened. You know, talking about how I ended up where I did was really important to me. I didn't want to only release an album because there's so much more of my story to be told, that I can't just do it in 19 songs on an album, you know? So I wanted that extra outlet to be able to elaborate more, but I also didn't want to just give my story away in an interview, to a magazine or even a TV sit down or whatever. You know, I wanted to be able to really share it. And I wanted everyone to know that the story was coming from the most direct source that it possibly could. You know, it wasn't coming from a magazine publication that asked me questions, but different answers get in the article. You know, I had a little more control over this, but in a still in a very liberating and empowering way.
Full control of the edit, full control of your story as it is your story, and that's the way it should be. And I mean, you have to feel like you have full control over this music, right? Like, do you feel like you're in the trenches more on the music than you've ever been?
I mean, I've always had control over my music. It's not that I never had control over my music. Even when I was with Disney Channel, although a common misconception is that I didn't have a say in what I sang. I always did. Otherwise, I just think that maybe I was misdirected at times. And, you know, that's pretty common for someone that doesn't really know who they are as a person to be misdirected as an artist. So
let's talk about the Ariana Grande record, Met Him Last Night. What is it like bringing this song in particular to life? And I mean, even cutting those vocals in the studio, what is the energy like before you come in and when you start writing these lyrics?
So I didn't actually write that song. That song was written by Ariana, and she brought it to me and was super excited to play it for me. And when I heard it, I fell in love with it, and I knew I wanted to record it. And I even said, like, hey, you should stick on this track. Like, you should stay on it. You sound amazing. She was like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, totally. Like, we wanted to sing together for forever. So it's pretty awesome to be able to have this story where not just another female pop star, but someone who is a really good friend of mine has collaborated on this album and helped me share my story in a way that is super meaningful to me. And I'll never forget this.
Incredible record. Another collaboration on this album is Easy featuring Noah Cyrus. Mm-hmm. How does that song start? How does it come to be?
So actually that song came about with the producer. His name is Matthew Coma, and he's so talented, so dope. I expressed that I was like, I just think you're so talented. And he was like, we should work together. And I was like, absolutely. And it kind of just snowballed from there. He sent me this song, Easy. And the second I heard it, I was like, wow, Noah would sound incredible on it. I was like, I just hear her voice for some reason. So we ended up recording it together, and it's another collaboration that I'm really, really excited about.
Beautiful song, and something really special about the two of your voices combined on that record. I mean, it's...
Thank you.
I couldn't stop listening to it.
Thanks.
Another really creative song is My Girlfriends Are My Boyfriends. So, like, Chef's Kiss. I kept thinking to myself, like, why did it take so long for a song like this to exist? Because it's like, it is so true. It's so good. Can you tell me the story behind it?
Yeah. Girlfriends Are My Boyfriend. That song was brought to me by Oak, my producer. We've done a lot of songs together, including Sorry Not Sorry and I Love Me. And so I knew that I wanted to work with him again. And he sent this song and I obviously fell in love with it and got Saweetie on it. So that's pretty exciting too.
What story are you telling top to bottom with this album? Is it your story or is it something else?
Yeah, it's my story. From the first song to the last song on the album, it kind of takes you in an order of like, this is how this issue led into this revelation, and this revelation led into this lesson that I had to learn. And
but
it's just really connecting the dots.
Do you write scattered and then organize, or do you write in order and then it, like, do you understand?
No, it definitely, I didn't write in order. I came to the studio with concepts and ideas. And then, over time I just knocked one out. And then once I had about 30 songs, I went through the track listing with management and decided that, we thought it would be a good idea to do it chronologically.
Hey, beautiful human, I gotta hit pause real quick to talk to those out there who drive a vehicle that require gas. If you want to get paid for filling up, now is your chance. Get Upside. It is the free app that will give you 25 cents back cash for every gallon of gas you put in your car. This is not a joke. Nearly 3 million people have gotten cash back using Get Upside. So why wouldn't you go to the App Store or Google Play and download this app today? It's free to download, free to use, and you get cash back. 25 cents for every gallon of gas you fill up. And they work with all the major gas retailers. So, like, why wouldn't you do this? And if you use my last name, Sang, as a promo code, you'll actually get a 25 cent bonus on your first filled tank using Get Upside. So that will be 50 cents cash back for 1 gallon of gas. Oh, and it's super easy to cash out. You can cash out via PayPal, or you can get gift cards to Amazon and other major brands. So, like, again, why wouldn't you do this? You'll get 25 cents back cash for every gallon of gas you put in your car. And if you use the promo code SANG, you'll get a 25 cent bonus. So go and get Upside. Are you going into the studio after these events are happening to you, or do you have to wait for the event to simmer down, digest it, and then go?
Every scenario is different. You know, if somebody dies, I probably don't go into the studio right away. Probably wait a day or so. But, you know, Mad World was a song on the album that I recorded actually the day of the insurrection. And I had shown one of my producers, Mitch, the original song by Gary Jules. And I loved that song so much that I told him I wanted to cover it. And he had just, like, we were recording this song called Butterfly the day of the insurrection. And then on a break, he was like, oh, I want to play you this track that I made to Mad World. I think you'll really like it. So he played it. And I was like, there's literally people still at the Capitol. We have to record this today. And because our minds were just blown about what was going on. And so I recorded that the day of the insurrection. There were still people there. And that's kind of a piece of history on my album, you know, is pretty cool because I can always hear that song and think, wow, when I recorded this, there were actually people still at the Capitol.
History was being made, but a strangely fitting song for that moment, like almost like freaky and spooky kind of.
Right, right. You know, I think that's why I had the urge to cover that song. Was because so much weird stuff had happened and the world, you know, shit hit the fan in 2020. And I kept thinking, like, I was listening to some of my favorite songs of all time with some of my closest friends one night. And we're just sitting there listening to music, and we played that song. And I remember thinking, like, can't believe nobody has covered this yet after everything that's happened this year. But I love covering songs. So I was like, I'll do it. And he made the track, and then I did.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong. Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
You know, sometimes there's moments in history where a new song just doesn't capture the moment in a way a timeless record just happens to, you know?
Yes. Yes, totally. Totally.
And the truth is, like, for all we know, there's a record on this album that we're talking about right now that years later will apply to something that never had that intention.
Yeah, totally. Maybe there's a giant swarm of butterflies. It takes over LA and New York, and then all of a sudden Butterfly becomes a hit song.
That would be a real blessing. Unless hordes of butterflies are a bad thing. I guess they could be. You know, too much of anything is a bad thing, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So
I don't know. I'm a butterfly fiend, so I love butterflies.
Have they been in your life forever, or do you remember a moment when they've had a real impact?
I think so. For some reason, I loved monarch butterflies as a kid.
The big, growing up in Texas, ones.
The big, beautiful orange ones, they always migrated through Texas. So I always, around springtime, I'd be like, or whenever they were migrating, I'd be like, oh my gosh, the monarchs are back. And so I always loved them, but I didn't really understand why. And then last year on Father's Day, in my documentary, I talk about my dad's death and how impactful it was on my life. And I also talk about why every Father's Day is really difficult for me, because the details surrounding his death were very heavy and emotional. And last year on Father's Day, I went outside. I'd also just lost my grandfather. And I saw two butterflies just like flying in the backyard at my family's place. And something I just knew that it was, I knew that it was them,
yeah.
You know? And so, and they were orange. I don't remember if they were monarch butterflies, but it was a profound moment, and it was really healing for me. I think seeing my dad there, in butterfly form, you know, it was just like, he was finally as graceful as he was always meant to be, but could never be because of his demons.
That gives me goosebumps. And that's a healing moment. That's for him too.
Totally.
I want to shift gears here to a song that I, 15 minutes. Why is this song vital? I like the, did you like clack seashells together at a certain point in the record? There's like this production that happens, and it sounded like two seashells hitting each other. It was very much beachy.
I wouldn't put it past my producers to have pulled some like really awesome personal like that, because there was even like an interview that I had earlier where they were talking about like the juxtaposition between referencing the devil and having church organs in my song. And I was like, I didn't even really totally realize that on Met Him Last Night. So I have to go back and listen to it. But yeah, it was just, the team that created this album with me is so incredible and so talented that like, I wouldn't put it past them to have actually added seashells like in the track. They're that, they think ahead like that. And look, all I'll say is that there's always reasons for seasons in your life. Yeah. And there's always lessons to be learned. And there's, and in order to learn those lessons, we have to sometimes encounter new teachers who, you know, are put in our lives for the reason of that season. And we learn our lesson and we move on. And if it happens to, if a hit song comes out of it, great. If it doesn't, great. I still learned my lesson. Well,
that's so, it. You've learned. And what do you learn from that season? What do you take away that you carry with you?
I think that I had a certain idea of what stability looked like to myself and to the rest of the world. And I think that stability actually for me looks like being independent and in a healthy relationship with myself. You know, that's what that season taught me, is that just because we are taught by society that we should end up in a marriage or in a relationship or whatever, like, I'm actually living with one of my best friends now, and we're having the best time, like, better than any time that I've ever lived with a partner, because it's just like, and I think that's what I want my life to look like, at least for the next couple of years, is like living with my friends and having a blast and not feeling pressured to deal with relationship drama because I'm at a certain age, yeah. You know?
Because society tells you to, because society yes. has put a time limit on it. And not only have yes. they put a time limit on it, they put like, they put a mold of who you should be with and the type of person you should
yes.
be. All this horse hockey bull squash. But we've fallen victim to it. I mean, me, myself,
yeah, totally. Look, even we fall victim to it because of shows like The Bachelor, you know, things like that, that we seem, that are seemingly harmless, are actually just shoving those gender and sexuality norms and ideals on us. And it's like, I just don't really feel like subscribing to what other people think my life should be anymore. And so I'm not, and I just do what makes me happy. And if that's sitting outside feeding my squirrels for an hour, then I do that.
You deserve no? that.
Thank you. I think so too.
By the way, this is a part of starting over, right? This is a whole new outlook. This is a new life perspective, because
yeah.
this is not like tiny changes. It's about a bunch of tiny changes that equal to one big change.
Yes.
And thank you for sharing it in the album. That's pretty amazing. And also, thank you for just sharing your true self, because even coming out as pansexual, you have brought great awareness and great education to what it means to be pansexual. Because I think a lot of people, it's like, you're either straight, you're either gay, you're either bi, or if you're pan, ah, no way, you're bi.
Like, you like trans? Like, I'm so sick of that one. I'm so sick of that one.
People don't get it, but they don't get it until they have to get it or are forced to just right. be aware of it by living everyday life, right?
Yeah.
So
I think the best way to describe my sexuality is in my song, The Kind of Lover I Am. You know, it's like that song to me fully encompasses exactly what the title says. It's the kind of lover that I am. And if anyone ever has questions regarding my sexuality, I'm literally just going to like point them to that song and be like, if you have questions, just listen to it.
I may start doing the same.
Yeah,
because
I gotta write a song.
In one of the lyrics is like, you literally say like, it's anybody, not anybody, like boy, girl, like you mentioned genders and it's literally anybody. That's a song, yeah, right?
There's an ad lib in the song yeah. that says, or you could be anything in between.
Yeah.
And that was like, it was so important for me to ad lib that lyric, because even though it's not repeated throughout the entire song, it's like, it's just, it's cool. It's like, I've never had a lyric that fully encompasses my sexuality like that. But the closest I ever came was Cool for the Summer. And in that, I was still like closeted and not out yet. So for me to like really own my sexuality, it's just the beginning of much more free and happy life.
Do you believe it starts there? Because I there's a debate that always happens is like, you can't live this free and happy life until you accept who you truly are and your sexuality, and you scream it from the mountaintops. You know, you can't achieve this peace without
there's it. There's a difference in accepting and knowing, right? Yeah. I don't know what my sexuality is going to be 10 years from now. I know what it is today, and I can like say I accept what it is today, right? Yes. I think the difference between knowing and accepting is two different things. As long as you set out to always be able to accept yourself for who you are, like it doesn't matter what sexuality you'll identify with in 10 years or 10 days from now. Like that might change, but if you can accept yourself for whatever sexuality you are today, like I think that's, it might not be the, I think it's helpful.
Yeah.
I don't see how it can be possible to live a free and happier life if you don't accept yourself. But who's to say I'm not wrong? You know, like people may have done that in the past. I just know for me personally, I've had to accept myself fully before I ever
share.
Before I ever felt like fulfilled and happy.
I very much understand that. By the way, the link to the album is in the description below. You must listen. Phenomenal body of work. Really, 19 songs. What do you learn from the creation of this thing?
I don't know, because like I've learned so much. I don't know where to begin. Like what I learned that I don't ever want to force myself into a certain genre of music. You know, this album has so many different genres on it. And when somebody says, oh, what can we expect from this album? Which is like the most redundant question. It's like, music, I don't know. Like, that sounds different track to track, hopefully. No,
but it's still like you. That's what you want, right?
Me. And that's all I know how to explain to people. It's like in the past, my answer would have been, oh, it's a little more R&B. It's a little more this or this. It's like, no, it's just what you can expect from the album is me. Best like identifying with myself as an artist, you know, more so than I ever have in my life before. And to just keep working, to keep writing, to never stop, because who knows, this might not be the only music project I release this year.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Is there a song of yours that you want to live forever? Like when we're gone and our kids are still around, what song of Demi Lovato's should they hear on the radio or whatever, the music cloud or something, whatever it'll be then?
I think that The Kind of Lover I Am is extremely important, but also California Sober is extremely important, because that song represents an alternate path to the recovery that I've been taught the past 10 years of dealing with this stuff. So it just is like, it's not saying that this works for everybody, but it's saying that there's that other solution isn't a one size fits all solution, and there's options. Mm-hmm. And it's just about like identifying what works best for you and going forward with that.
In the documentary, and you have opened up about how you've had a vision, you've had a complication with your vision. Will that affect mm-hmm. touring in the future or how you perform live?
I hope not. I haven't originally, when I first started playing piano and guitar again, it affected my vision a lot because I couldn't see where I was putting my fingers. But any real piano player knows you're not supposed to look at your hands anyways. So it's just like helped me become a better player, I guess. Wow,
okay. Because
it's like, and I'm really, really hoping that we have like a safe, like clumsy free stage. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need any surprises. I don't need stairs. I think we'll manage. I think it'll be okay. But yeah, I might not be like dancing in high heels anymore, but I don't want to do that anyways.
Yeah. I rather just hear you sing. Your voice is magnificent and it's enough of a show and there's no need for, I mean, if you want to do other effects, like go for it, but like your voice is, yeah, more than enough and incredibly captivating. And Demi Lovato, I say thank you for giving us time and energy.
So good to see you.
Yeah, it really was a pleasure. And this is the most legitimate you've done the show. And hopefully the next time it's in person and on our couch.
Yes, it has to be in person next time.
We'd love that very much. Thank you for your time, Demi.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Later.
Hey, beautiful human. Thanks for listening to our conversation with Demi Lovato. I beg, share this podcast with those you care about and subscribe. And please let us know who you're listening to so we know who we should invite on our show next. At Zach Sang Show on any form of social media. Please be safe. If you can, hug your family and don't go to jail. Have an amazing day. Talk soon.